Are you ready, Flyer fans? It's the Anthony Grant Show.
And Dayton has won! Dayton has won!
All right, champion!
Nailed it! Nails it! It's a shot clock expired!
Got it!
Presented by Bud Light and live from Frickers on Woodman Drive in Dayton. Tonight's show is brought to you by Bud Light. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Frickers. For over 30 years, has been the home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. And by Flyer Spirit, the university-owned student-staff destination for Dayton Flyers gear. Hashtag Flyer Spirit. The Anthony Grant Show on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Now, here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Frickers here on Woodman Drive and another edition of the Anthony Grant Show here on the home of the Flyers. We get here together every Monday, talk a little Dayton basketball, 7 to 8. A programming note, next two Mondays we will not be here, despite the sign behind me that says we'll be here on February 25th, because the next two Mondays will be travel days for Dayton. But we're here to talk some Flyer basketball tonight after missing last week's show due to a travel day. And one of my favorite pieces of literature of all time, the Charles Dickens classic, A Tale of Two Cities. And the opening line, I can quote it to you verbatim. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Last week we had A Tale of Two Cities for Dayton basketball because we saw the worst of times on Tuesday and maybe the best of times on Saturday. A week in which, Coach, in some ways you've got to be very pleased with the resilience and the bounce back and just the focus of your team on Saturday. But these guys got to drive you crazy sometimes after what you saw over this this past week with the loss at St. Louis, but then the big win Saturday at Rhode Island.
Yeah, you know, that's part of the game. You know, I think I wish I could explain it. I wish we had an answer for it, but I think you look across the country, you know, you pay attention to the scores over the course of the last week or two, and it's that time of year. You know, you hit February, and it's a grind, you know, and you have to be mentally and physically tough on every night, you know. And so going into the St. Louis game, we knew, you know, who they were and what they were, and we would have to be ready to answer that. And unfortunately for us, we didn't have our best showing, and they held us accountable in a lot of areas, specifically on the glass, which really at the end of the day was the difference in the game. You know, that they got 26 points on second shots. That was the difference in the game. I was proud of the way our guys responded, because in Rhode Island you're dealing with a team that in a lot of ways is very similar to St. Louis. I think maybe a little bit more skilled in terms of some of the skilled players that they have, but big physical team, and obviously, you know, in their building, they've been really, really good all year. So for us to be able to go out and respond coming off of the loss at St. Louis with the way we did, I thought our guys showed some resiliency and toughness and togetherness, because it took a great team effort in order for us to be able to get the start and finish that we got.
You got off to a great start, but you know, I knew Rhode Island was not going to just say, okay, not our night, and go home. This is a team that I think, while not a senior-laden team, is certainly got some toughness to them. And I knew that they were going to come back and try to and throw some punches at you. But I thought might have been your finest game this season from the standpoint of playing with the lead and not allowing a team to really make a run at you.
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of respect for Rhode Island and the way they run their program. And as you mentioned, I think you look at the identity that they've always had, and really every team, you know, across the country, especially in our league, there's not a night where you feel comfortable that, hey, if we just show up and do what we normally do, this is you know, the other team is going to fold. So there was at no point during the game that we felt like we could stop playing and we could take our foot off the gas pedal, so to speak. And you know, that's what we talked about at halftime. You know, we were able to build a 14-point lead. Obviously, I would have liked for it to have been more, and I think it could have been more going into the half. But you know, 14 up at the half on the road, you don't feel safe at all. And so our challenge to our guys coming in at the half was that we needed to make sure we came out with the same energy and the same focus that we started the game with. And, you know, I thought the first 4 minutes of the second half, first 4 or 5 minutes, was kind of back and forth. Neither team could really establish themselves. But after that, I felt like our guys really took advantage of the opportunities that presented themselves. And we had a really, really good game, two halves, defensively in terms of scouting report and what we needed to do. And you know, they're a good team. They still got 13 offensive rebounds in the game, you know, so obviously they were able to have some success. But I thought our defense really carried us. And then once we got clicking offensively, it allowed us to really open the game up.
You know, I've talked about this team to a lot of folks throughout the course of the season, and it happened again this afternoon. I had a chance to talk to a group, and from my vantage point, and obviously you may disagree, but I think the strength of this team is its ability to follow a game plan. This team, you give them a game plan, you give them here's what we're going to do defensively, here's what we're going to do offensively, here's our personnel scouting report, and for the most part, this team sticks to it, and they don't just go off on their own.
Yeah, I think you have to be a good team. I can't think of at any level that I've ever coached where you can kind of deviate from the script and not be able to be held accountable by the other team. You got some really good teams out there all across the country, so that's something that's important in terms of being able to win and build a winning program.
Now, Dayton Flyers now with a record of 16-8, and they are 8-3 in the Atlantic 10. And heading into the home stretch of this season with seven games to play, Flyers right now sitting in a tie with George Mason, just a half game behind the co-leaders in the conference at Davidson and VCU at 8-2. And of course, VCU coming into the UD Arena this coming Saturday, and the Flyers will get their one and only opportunity at Davidson a week from tomorrow night, Tuesday, on the road. So every game has some drama around it. Every game has some meaning, and it's a coaching cliche to take them one at a time. But at this time of year, with this team, with this league, is it really easy to say to the guys, hey, let's focus on tonight and tonight only, because that's the most important game?
Well, it's great because that's what we try to do no matter what. So nothing will change for us in terms of our approach to it, but certainly you bring up a good point. I think the thing you want to do, especially at this time of year, is be able to control your own destiny in terms of, you know, having a chance to play for a championship. And, you know, for the most part, we're in a position to do that. Obviously, you know, you look across the slate, VCU coming in here on Saturday is our number one focus, and they're playing really good basketball. So we'll have to be at our best to be able to come out with the win there. And you know, you look at Davidson, they've been really impressive with the way they've played all year. And it's off to a great start in conference play here. So those two teams obviously are at the top of the league. Obviously the Mason game here, you know, unfortunately we weren't able to take care of ourselves here. So we'll have to see how that one plays out. But, you know, I think you look up and down, you know, the conference, we've said it 1,000 times, but anything can happen on any given night. You know, I think Davidson goes to UMass this weekend and you know, UMass was able to come out with the win. I believe that was the opponent there. And, you know, on any given night, anything can happen in our league. So there's a lot of basketball left to be played with seven games. So we just got to make sure that we prepare as best we can and take it one at a time and take care of ourselves.
All right, Dayton Flyers hosting VCU Saturday at 4 o'clock. That game plus all remaining home games are sold out. And for Saturday's sellout game, the university is going to – they did not consult John Rapone on this because they are going to do a whiteout for the game. A whiteout for the game, and there will be pom-poms and stuff like that. So you are encouraged to wear white to the game for that game against VCU coming up on Saturday afternoon. A lot to talk about here tonight. The Bud Light mic available for the folks here at Frickers and Woodman Drive. Wherever you are in Flyer Nation, you're invited to give us a call at 457-1290 as we continue the Anthony Grant Show. We are live at Frickers on Woodman Drive.
The Anthony Grant Show, live from Frickers on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Now the three big things you need to know. The top stories we're following this hour. 9 men are facing federal charges in connection to a string of robberies around the Miami Valley. The fight over a border wall continues in Congress as the deadline to avoid another government shutdown gets closer. And the president will make his case for that border wall tonight in a border city. And you can hear it live right here on WHIO. You're never more than 15 minutes from Dayton's top stories. I'm Dave Daniels, WHIO Continuing News.
Ever wonder what ingredients are in Bud Light? Just check the packaging. We brew with hops, barley, water, and rice. Ever wonder what ingredients are in Coors Light? You can't check the packaging. You have to go to their website, download a PDF, and scroll to page 3. There it is. Coors Light brews with hop extract, barley, water, and corn syrup. Bud Light. Brewed with no corn syrup. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri. Based on information available at MillerCoors.com as of January 16, 2019.
Frickers is the home for incredible value.
Monday,
boneless frickin' chicken wings.
Tuesday,
traditional frickin' chicken wings.
Wednesday,
sirloin steak dinner.
And Thursday,
frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers is also ready to handle your graduation party or large catering order. Frickers takes the worry out of what's for lunch, dinner, or late night. Everyday values are at only one place. The home for fun, food, sports, and spirits is also the home for everyday values. Frickers.
We know that purchasing a new system is a big decision. At McAfee, we feel you should only have to make it once. That's why we offer lifetime, worry-free coverage on new McAfee systems. Never a charge for repairs, never a charge for maintenance, not even a charge for filters. And when the day comes the system needs replaced, you're covered. Any season, any time, McAfee.
Did you know that in Dayton there is a financial and strategic advisory firm that provides both advice and execution for their clients? It's true, and they're in their second decade of serving the Miami Valley. They are MLA Companies, and you can find out more about them at mlacompanies.com or by calling 937-222-3622. Make sure to ask about their trademark value implementation process. MLA Companies. Financial wisdom. Transformative action. Trusted advisors.
When I grow up, I want to be a teacher because they know a lot of awesome stuff. I'll stand in front of the class and make sure everyone knows what I know.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a serious defect of the immune system. Early testing gives children a chance to dream.
And when I'm a teacher, my favorite subject will be recess.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. Visit info4pi.org.
Hello, Brooklyn. The Atlantic 10 Men's Basketball Championship returns to the bright lights of Barclays Center. Join your team for 5 days of tournament madness, March 13th through 17th at the iconic Brooklyn Arena. Purchase tickets now at the ticket office of your favorite A10 institution, at Barclays Center box office, barclayscenter.com, ticketmaster.com, or by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000. Come to Brooklyn and cheer your team to a title in the NCAA tournament.
The shows you grew up with are back. I'm Barry Williams, and you can watch the whole blooming Brady Bunch right here on MeTV, WHIO, classic television.
WHIO. Watch MASH for 1 hour, weeknights at 7, now on MeTV, WHIO, classic television. The good, clean family shows are back. WHIO. Over the air on Channel 7.2.
Rain likely this evening. Could see a few slick spots up towards Mercer and Auglaize County as temperatures are below freezing. We'll see early overnight lows in the upper 30s, then rise towards morning. I'm Chief Meteorologist McCall Vrydags on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hansgen.
And welcome back here to Frickers on Woodman Drive, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits, and your home of the Anthony Grant Show. Monday nights, 7-8 during the Flyer basketball season. But again, Dayton with travel dates the following two Mondays. So it'll be March the 4th next time that we'll be all together here at Frickers. And so a lot of basketball between now and then, but the season in some ways is just heading towards the finish line. Flyers with seven games to play, 16-8 on the year. and 8-3 now in the Atlantic 10 with a home game coming up Saturday at 4 o'clock against VCU. That game and all remaining home games are sold out. Speaking of away games, however, our friends here with the alumni group are having watch parties coming up on Tuesday for the Davidson game at Roosters in the new location in Miamisburg, and then also the following Tuesday at Milano's in Beaver Creek. That'll be for the UMass game coming up on the road. But focus this week for this Dayton Flyer team is a home game against VCU coming up on Saturday. We'll get into that more coming up. But looking at the week that was, Dayton with the road loss on Tuesday at St. Louis, 73-60, and then a 77-48 route of Rhode Island at Rhode Island on Saturday. And obviously an impressive win. When you can win on the road in the Atlantic 10, that's something, and to win decisively like that. I don't know that it was in anyone's minds as far as you, your staff, or the players, but this broadcaster right here really got a kick out of the fact that you won as decisively as you did, because fresh in my mind was watching Rhode Island celebrate their regular season championship last year in that arena. And I think I was still pulling confetti and stuff out of my clothing and my briefcase for weeks after that. And I don't know. It was a very bitter taste in my mouth. I don't know if any of the guys were even thinking about that, but certainly when you can go into someone's building and you can make that big crowd, and they had a great crowd on Saturday, but when they get really quiet and they start leaving early, that's got to be a pretty good feeling.
Yeah, it is. You know, obviously, you know, that's what you want when you go on the road. And I think, you know, just being able to develop that toughness and that resiliency as a team, I think, you know, in order to be able to compete for a championship, you've got to be able to go to an opponent's building and win on the road. And I think we've been able to have some success on the road this year. You know, you look at the difference that a year makes and the struggles we had last year, proud of the growth that our guys are showing and the toughness. And again, obviously, you know, like we talked about, you know, just the resiliency to bounce back from, you know, just a few days earlier at St. Louis, and to show the toughness that we showed to be able to go on the road and in a tough environment and get the win. But, yeah, I think that's a part of the growth that you want to see out of a basketball team, to be able to go and get road wins.
You made a change in your lineup this week, and really when you got as short a rotation as you have, starting doesn't really mean that much because everyone's going to get a chance out there. But you did make the change, Obi starting off and Trey Landers coming off the bench. I have seen from Trey just his demeanor not changing one bit, however.
Yeah, Trey's awesome, you know, and obviously his biggest strength is that he's so versatile. He gives us great energy, whether he's in the lineup starting or coming off the bench. His minutes really haven't changed, you know, and I think Obi has done an outstanding job for us, and just the combination of what we have on the court to start the game, I just felt like at the end of the day, my job was to try to do what I think is best for the team in terms of moving forward, and all our guys were great in terms of their understanding and their buy-in, so I think it's been good for us, and, you know, we just got to continue to move forward and try to move the needle just a little bit and try to get better as good as we can as we head into the home stretch of conference play.
With Trey coming off the bench, does it give you some flexibility? Because I look at a situation where realistically he could come for any one of the five that are out there on the floor, whether it's just you want to make a change or there's a foul issue or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it gives us some more versatility just in terms of being able to plug guys in different positions, because we have so many different guys that can play multiple positions, you know, and then coming off the bench with him allows you really at the 3, 4, 5 spot to really have some versatility there in terms of your lineups. And then obviously Dwayne off the bench is the first guard sub off the bench, and his versatility or being able to play him for either of the two guards, I think has been good for us. So I like the way we have it set up.
Your confidence in Dwayne, you know, still a true freshman, but he's got a lot of college games under his belt now, but and he looks more and more comfortable as this season goes on.
Yeah, I think Dwayne's doing a really good job of buying in and understanding what the team needs from him and what the expectations are on a daily basis. And, you know, like most freshmen, that's a process that you have to go through, and there's some growth that needs to take place in terms of understanding, you know, not only his role, but how to complement and impact the other guys on the floor, whether it be a defensive assignment or offensively just doing the things and helping everybody else do the things that allow them to have success. So, yeah, I've been impressed with him. He's really played some big minutes for us and done some really good things, especially on the defensive end for us that have allowed us to be able to have success.
I got a question about Saturday's game, and I don't want to turn this into a referendum on the officiating, but rather more about just Dwayne. I mean, he got called for several fouls. To me, where it looked like, to me, looked like he was just boxing out hard.
Yeah, you know, I agree, and you know, the thing we talked about is those are fouls we'll take. You know, in terms of our guys being physical and trying to go put a body on a body and make sure that we don't allow them to be able to get offensive rebounds. And like I said, you know, there was room for growth. They got 13 of them in the game, which is more than we wanted to give up. But what you saw on Saturday were guys making a concerted effort to make sure they found a body and tried to put a body on a body. And, you know, the officials elected to have some, I think it was two or three calls that we got called for blockouts and just trying to do our jobs that the officials, for whatever reason, felt like they were, you know, I don't know, excessive or illegal or what, you know, that we really couldn't get a clear explanation, to be honest with you, in terms of the calls. But it is what it is. I was proud of the way our guys didn't let it deter them from doing our jobs, you know, and the lesson that we learned in terms of St. Louis and you know, the impact that those rebounds had on the outcome of the game. Our guys did a good job of making a concerted effort to go put a body on a body.
Now, the Flyers, with a very physical effort and a good 77-48 win over Rhode Island on Saturday on the road. We've got Bruce on the phone here today. Bruce in Dayton. And, Bruce, you've got a question for Coach Grant. Hello, Bruce. You got a question for Coach Grant. Okay. All right. We thought we had Bruce, but apparently not. Bud Light Mike's available, and Tom, step on up. You got a question for Coach.
Yeah, Coach, Tuesday night, I mean, we got pummeled. We were just physically beaten up. And I mean, the whole team had a feel, I heard it once described as, you know, they were so low they could walk under a snake with a top hat on. And How do you turn that around in a couple days?
Well, kids are resilient. That's the one thing that you know. The longer, I think, as coaches and probably as fans, we live in it until the ball goes up for the next game. You know, you live in it. And for kids, they just want to get an opportunity to go back out there and play again. So, you know, obviously we saw live, you know, at St. Louis what was going on, and then we had to relive it again the next day, and you know that was painful. You know, to be able to be held accountable for what we didn't do, but it was necessary. And so I think, you know, the next 2 days of practice, we had good practices, we had good preparation, and you know, there was a purpose behind what we did in terms of preparing for the Rhode Island game, and our guys responded. So kids are resilient. You know, they're able to bounce back.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you, Tom. And we are going to continue here on the Anthony Grant Show, a look ahead at the week that is with VCU Saturday, but a little bit of time off as well. We'll talk about that as we continue the Anthony Grant Show. We're live at Frickers, Woodman Drive.
The Anthony Grant Show, live from Frickers on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. This is the station Dayton turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. WHIO Dayton Springfield. Your news starts now. Depend on it.
Good evening. I'm Dave Daniels. Here are the three big things you need to know this hour. 9 men are facing federal charges in connection to a string of robberies around the Miami Valley. The fight over a border wall continues in Congress as the deadline to avoid another government shutdown gets closer. And our top story, the president will make his case for that border wall tonight in a border city. And you're going to hear it live right here on WHIO.
Steady rain moving in tonight. I'm Chief Meteorologist McCall Vrydags. Your exclusive WHIO forecast is coming up.
Now WHIO Triple Team Traffic. The wet roads giving us some trouble this evening as we've got several accidents. One in the 35 block of South St. Clair Street in Dayton. We've got one on Auto Club Drive at South Ludlow Street. And we've got one in Miami Township in the 8800 block of Kings Ridge Drive. And we've got one in Moraine on I-75 southbound. Not seeing any delay just yet from that one. Our top story, President Trump takes his push for a border wall to El Paso, Texas tonight.
And all of the other things are nice to have, but without a wall, it's not going to work. We can have technology, we can have beautiful drones flying all over the place, but it doesn't work without the wall.
You can hear the full speech live tonight starting at 9 on WHIO. A new wrinkle in the border security debate as the president gets ready to speak in El Paso tonight. Jared Halpern with continuing team coverage.
While President Trump is demanding $5.7 billion for border wall construction, Republicans and Democrats in Congress are in an impasse over ICE detention policy. Democrats want to cap the number of detention beds afforded the Immigration Enforcement Agency to focus on removing dangerous criminals.
Congress has until Friday to come up with a deal on border security or risk another government shutdown. Nine men are facing federal charges for a slew of pharmacy robberies around the Miami Valley. Prosecutors say the men presented notes demanding specific narcotics and threatened to kill employees if they didn't comply. The robberies occurred from April to October 2018 at Rite Aid and CVS pharmacies in Dayton, New Carlisle, Brookville, Vandalia, Xenia, and Inglewood, among other places outside the area. Six of the men are from Dayton, two more from Trotwood.
With local news every 15 minutes, this is WHIO Continuing News.
Health officials are reporting a large increase in hepatitis A cases in Clark County.
This as a statewide outbreak continues, according to the Clark County Combined Health District, who reports 38 cases of hepatitis A have been investigated as of February the 5th, 23 of which are connected to the current outbreak reported in Ohio, the health district said.
That's WHIO's Jeremy Ratliff with team coverage. The health district also said that before the statewide outbreak that started in 2018, the last confirmed case in Clark County was in 2011. Now with the most accurate and dependable forecast, here's Storm Center 7 Chief Meteorologist McCall Vrydags.
As we head through the evening hours, we're watching widespread rain taking over. Initially, could have a few slick spots up towards Mercer and Auglaize County. But as temperatures climb through the night, those chances will diminish, just dealing with wet roadways by morning. Rain will also pick up for the morning drive. Visibility may drop, and we could see some ponding on the roadways. That will make travel difficult, along with some patchy fog possible to start the day. As we get into the afternoon, the rain will taper, but we'll have a few rounds of steadier rain at times. Temperatures will reach a high near 50 degrees, then fall into the evening, and we could see a few snow showers starting to move back in. I'm Chief Meteorologist McCall Vrydags in the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Latest scan of the live Doppler 7 radar showing showers again all over the Miami Valley. It is 32 degrees in Piqua, 35 in Springfield, and 36 degrees in Dayton at 735. I'm Dave Daniels, WHIO. Continuing news.
This is Brent Kress from Wagner Paving with good news in Dayton. Teco Work Holding Products is a local success story in Union, Ohio. Founded in 1926, they've evolved into a world-leading manufacturer of work holding vices, tooling components, CMM fixturing, and spring-loaded devices. The president, Rich Porter, purchased the company in 2007, and it has only taken off from there. Rich also acquired Mighty Bite Products, Raptor Work Holdings, and added them to their line of products. In 2017, the company moved into their new 60,000 square foot facility, which includes additional land to grow. Teco applies the golden rule to all customers, employees, suppliers, and the local community. They believe the strength of the company comes from their most valuable resource, their employees, and they are currently looking for a machinist for their second shift. Rich Porter and Teco, you are good news in Dayton.
Good news in Dayton is brought to you by Grunder Landscaping Company, Wagner Paving, and West Banco Bank. For more information, visit goodnewsindayton.com.
At McAfee, we believe in supporting and reinvesting in our community. Through scholarships, local charities, and even on the sports fields, we're always working with you in mind. Any season, any time, McAfee.
This is Clark Howard here on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Did you know you can get our latest news flash briefing on your smartphone? For Android, just say OK Google and then play WHIO News.
You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to Frickers on Woodman Drive. It is your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits, and home of the Anthony Grant Show. Here every Monday night, 7 to 8, as the Flyer basketball season continues. Dayton with a record of 16 and 8 now, and they are 8 and 3 in the Atlantic 10. And a little time off this week. One game, that Saturday, VCU. We'll be talking about that certainly coming up. But at this point in time of the year, is this week off coming at a pretty good time for you?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, obviously, like I said earlier, it's a long season for our guys. And, you know, it's more than just, you know, the 24 games or so that you play, you know, during the course of the season. But, you know, by the time our season's done, our guys will have had about 100 practices. You count the shoot-arounds the day of a game, and there's probably another 25 of those that you get in, either at home or on the road, and then the 30-plus games that you play over the course of the season. So, you know, you add that up, you know, plus what they do, you know, in preparation for the season before we ever start official practice. And that, there's a lot of not only physical but probably more mental in terms of you know, what goes into the grind of a season, you know, not to mention the academic responsibilities that they have along with just being college students. So I think for us, you know, this is a good time in the season for us right now to have this week, and it allows us not only to get some mental rest, but also to continue to try to get better as a team. So, you know, that's a great win on Saturday. We're able to take yesterday off, back to the practice floor today, and, you know, we'll be able to work this week a little bit on fine-tuning some stuff for us, and then later in the week we'll get into a little bit of prep for VCU as we build toward Saturday.
From the physical standpoint, obviously you can, you know, adjust the amount of time guys are on their legs in practice, and your strength coach Ed Streit and can do things as well as trainer Mike Mulcahy and his staff to help their bodies get through this season. But what can you do to give your guys the mental break that they need at times, and certainly you know, this week?
Well, I think obviously, you know, not having a game to prep for midweek, I think is a part of that. I think being able to reduce some of the stress in terms of how long we go on the practice floor and what we try to get accomplished, and then obviously trying to be strategic in terms of when we give them off in terms of our preparation for this week. So, you know, all those things are a part of it. But, you know, the other part of it is, you know, the season, like I tell the guys, it is what it is, and it takes what it takes. So I think we have to do a good job of making sure in terms of our players that we're getting our rest, that we're eating properly, that we're taking care of our bodies, especially with the fluctuating weather that we have and the demands on their time. So, you know, I think it's kind of tricky because you want to stay fresh, you know, and you want to make sure you're not you know, putting yourself behind the eight ball, so to speak, because obviously your opponents are still playing. You know, this week I think VCU plays maybe Wednesday. You know, so we've got to make sure that we remain fresh and we remain crisp in terms of what we're doing. So we try to balance those two things.
I talked about the fact that I've been impressed with your team's ability, not necessarily ability, but the focus and the discipline to follow a game plan. And it all starts with a scouting report, and I've had the good fortune to be able to sit in and some film sessions and some scouting reports. And if you could peel back the curtain a little bit for the fans here, and what all goes into, you know, how you prepare your team for an opponent in terms of putting together a scouting report and teaching it.
Yeah, well, our staff gets a lot of the credit for that. Those guys work extremely hard, and, you know, our assistant coaches and GAs and support staff will gather all the analytic stuff we need. We pretty much will have just about every game, especially now in league play, that our opponents play, and the coaches will break down game film and give our guys a pretty good idea in terms of what they can expect from our opponents, not only their offensive attack, but defensively how they plan to attack us. And, you know, as we get closer to the games, I'll begin to watch myself and spend some time trying to figure out what gives us the best chance to have success. And then our assistants basically deliver, here's the game plan. Here's what they want to do, and here's how we need to counter what they want to do. So it's on the court in terms of what we do in practice, preparing for their offensive game plan and how they want to attack us defensively. And then the film, we go from giving our guys a try to give them a picture of here are some things that we need to be able to focus on as we prepare for the game about 2 days out. And then here's their personnel in terms of their strengths and weaknesses as a team. And then the day of, here's the things that we've been working on all week that you guys can see video-wise. And I think it's been a good formula for our guys in terms of not trying to give them everything in one bite, so to speak, but to be able to break it down for them where they can analyze it and take it in and use it to their advantage. And they've been pretty receptive to that.
I've seen some of these sessions on game day where – you know, the assistant, whoever's in charge of the scout, you know, goes over the personnel and some things. And I'm impressed with the fact that it's like being in a classroom. I mean, it is a teaching session, but it's an interactive classroom. I mean, the guys are involved in, you know, and he'll say, okay, when they do this, what are we doing? And I hear everyone chime in, you know, in unison with that. So it's obvious that that's not the first time that they, you know, that they're seeing this, that they have got this stuff in their brains, and you give them a little mini quiz before the game begins, like say, okay, you guys on board?
Yeah, well, it's really important that we're all speaking the same language, you know. And the thing we talk about is a lot of times for us, you know, we're not going to play the perfect defense. We just need to make sure we're playing the same defense, that everybody's on the same page, and we're speaking the same language, and we understand what we've got to do. And you know, so I think when we're at our best, You see that. You see the communication on the floor. You see guys helping each other. You see guys having an awareness of what is getting ready to happen before it happens during the course of a game.
Going back just as recently as Saturday with the win over Rhode Island, maybe the best description, the best one word I could use to describe Dayton's effort that day was connected. I thought that all five guys, no matter which five was out there, were connected.
Well, that's a big word for us, and that's what we want people to see, you know, in terms of that's part of our identity as a team. We want to be connected, and so that's great that you say that. I think that's a compliment to our players and our coaches, and that can be seen by the way that we play. But yeah, I think that was huge for us in the Rhode Island game, and I think it's important for us as we move forward that we play that way.
All right, Dayton Flyers with a little time to prepare for the next opponent, which is VCU on Saturday. We'll talk a little bit about the Rams this second time around, and also take a look at some Dayton personnel moving forward. It is the Anthony Grant Show. We are live at Frickers here on Woodman Drive.
The Anthony Grant Show, live from Frickers on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Now the three big things you need to know, the top stories we're following this hour. A student is abducted at gunpoint in a parking lot at the Ohio State University Mansfield campus. A Dayton man allegedly caught in the act of burglarizing a home last month is indicted. And the president takes his case for a border wall to a border town tonight. And you can hear his remarks live right here on WHIO. You're never more than 15 minutes from Dayton's top stories. I'm Dave Daniels, WHIO Continuing News.
Maytag and Logan Master Appliance will help you stand up to messes with a Maytag brand kitchen suite that's engineered to resist fingerprints, so stainless steel keeps looking stainless. The easy-to-clean, fingerprint-resistant stainless steel finish keeps your kitchen looking as good on the outside as it works on the inside. See store for full details and qualified models. Logan Master Appliance. When service matters, call the masters.
Miami Valley's Ultimate Home Expo is back this weekend at the Dayton Mall. Get inspired with beautiful bath and kitchen showcases and ideas for your dream backyard. Visit our Monarch Market where you'll learn painting and staining techniques, shop essential oils for the home, get farmhouse inspiration, and unique lighting ideas with upcycled antiques. The biggest home improvement event in the region is happening at the Dayton Mall with free admission and free parking. Begin making your house your dream home when you come to the Ultimate Home Expo.
I'm WHIO's Chris Hartley with some fun events for you this weekend here in the Miami Valley. The Miami Valley Ultimate Home Expo continues over at the Dayton Mall. That's going to run through February 18th. This event is formerly known as Home World. You'd expect exhibits from landscaping, bath and kitchen, and more. The National Museum of the U.S. Air Force is going to be having Family Day. That's going to be on Saturday, where you can learn about satellites and take a close look at GPS and how it works with hands-on demos and activities. The event begins at 9 a.m. and it's going to run through 3. This event is free and open to all ages. How about the Orchid Show? That's going to be happening this weekend over at Cox Arboretum, Saturday 10 to 4 and Sunday 10 to 4. You can view hundreds of orchids in bloom, informational orchid talks, and classes. That's going to be held throughout the weekend. This event is free and open to the public. And Tech Fest 2019 is going to be happening this weekend over at the Sinclair Community College. Saturday 10 to 6, Sunday 11 to 5. Tech Fest is free and open to the public. Getting you out into the Miami Valley this weekend, I'm Chris Hartley, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WH.
Rain likely this evening. Could see a few slick spots up towards Mercer and Auglaize County as temperatures are below freezing. We'll see early overnight lows in the upper 30s, then rise towards morning. I'm Chief Meteorologist McCall Vrydags on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hansgen.
Hey, welcome back here to Prickers on Woodman Drive, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits, the Anthony Grant Show, every Monday night. We will not be here the next two Mondays with Dayton traveling the next 2 weeks for Tuesday night road games in the Atlantic 10. A week from tomorrow at Davidson, and then the following week at UMass. But before that, though, big home game coming up against VCU on Saturday. We'll be talking about that coming up. Maybe a final thought on the Rhode Island victory on Saturday, the icing on the cake, the final 3 points for the Flyers, Cameron Greer. Bangs in a three for your final points of the day, and to see not just the joy on Cameron's part, but the joy by his teammates, the entire staff, that was special.
It was. The best part of it was as soon as he let it go, he yelled glass. I'm kidding. I told him after the game, I said, I heard you call glass on that one too. So, no, it was awesome. And, that, as you mentioned, you know, you love to see, you know, the walk-ons have a chance to get out there and for everything that they do for us in the course and the sacrifices they make, you know, and just to see the joy of his teammates out there, so happy for him to be able to get out there and see a shot fall like that. So, yeah, that was great to see.
You know, I really give both he and Jack and then Jabali and Christian, I give them a lot of credit for, you know, what they do. But more so than anything, the way they conduct themselves. Because you see a lot of programs, you look down at the end of the bench and you see guys that are just, they're not engaged. They're just, you know, it's like, okay, I get a chance to wear a uniform and I'm just going to be a little bit of a sideshow over here, and to see these guys conduct themselves, and they are basketball players. They are not mascots in uniform. They're basketball players. And then to see Cameron, the way he conducts himself, get a chance to do something like that, to me, I mean, I was thrilled for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great young man, you know, and I don't know if any of you guys have had a chance to get to know them in any way, but, you know, Cam's a young man that, you know, just from a sacrifice standpoint, his nature is to do anything he can to help someone else, whether it's to say a kind word or to be the first in the gym to rebound for a guy, or if we need him in terms of scout team, he gives you everything he has, and he does it for one purpose, just to help the team. And all of our guys are like that. You know, Jack Westerfield's been unbelievable for us all year, and then obviously with Jabali and Christian, two new guys this year that are learning their way. It's been a tremendous asset, you know, for us to have those guys a part of our program.
other guys that are part of your program that the fans aren't getting to see much, much like Jack and Cameron, Christian, and Jamali are those guys that are sitting out this season for you. Chase Johnson is the newest to that list. He was able to transfer in for this semester from Florida, and after all the paperwork goes through, he's able to now get out on the practice floor with you. And how's his adjustment been?
It's been really good, you know, and it took him probably, I want to say, 2 to 3 weeks before he was actually able to get on the floor. So I think last Thursday was his first day of actually really getting out there and having contact. And I know he's got a huge smile on his face every day that he's actually back playing again, because, you know, the game, he was away from the game for quite a bit there. And he's happy to be out there with his teammates competing. And you know, I think it's been really good for him to get a new start. You know, and I think obviously, you know, whatever his situation was at Florida, I think he needed a change mentally and physically. And we're happy to have him with us. And we feel like he'll be a great addition to our team.
And obviously, Rodney Chapman, E.B. Watson, Jordy Chimanga have been with you through the summer and all the way through the fall now. And as they work on their individual skills and hone their games, how's their progress been in this year? Very important year for them to get better.
Well, I think all three of them have improved since they've been here. I think, you know, just obviously, you know, more than anything else, the year to learn our system, to learn our terminology. They've been really bought in to everything, and I think it's been really, really helpful to our current team, what they provide on a daily basis as a part of the scout team and our preparations. They give us great looks, and you know, I think you know, what you want to see is a group, especially when you have, you know, that many transfers, the group that's mature and focused on continuing to improve and get better and understand the vision that we have as a program. And those guys have been really, really good in that aspect. So proud of them for being able to deal with that, because, you know, like, it's tough when you sit out and you're not playing, especially when you're used to having a chance to go out there and impact the game. Have that taken away from you and be able to remain focused in terms of, hey, this is what I've got to do. This is how I can help the team in this situation, and this is what I need to do to continue to improve. So I've been impressed with their ability to have the maturity to go out there every day and continue to work on their game while they're also helping our current team.
You know, all transfers are not created equal, and it's an important process to obviously not only gauge these guys as basketball players talent-wise, but as people, to be a part of your culture. And I'll go back to a teammate of yours who I think kind of set the bar for what it's like to be a transfer that comes in and is not just a great player, but a great person, the late, great Dave Colbert. What a job he did.
Dave is, you know, obviously was one of my dear friends, one of my best friends, and miss him dearly. But, you know, he was tremendous, probably the best player on the floor of the year he sat out outside of Roosevelt. And, you know, he the impact that he had, you know, on our program for 2 years, you know, he gave everybody confidence, made the game easier for everybody, and was just a great human being.
Yeah, Ed Young with one of the great quotes in Dayton basketball during the NCAA tournament in 1984, that run when before the Georgetown game, he was asked what it was going to be like to go up against Patrick Ewing, and he says, "I play against this guy named Dave Colbert in practice every day, and he's really good." So,
he's really good.
All right, you got a game. You have a chance, like you say, to just kind of get back to Dayton for a while. Then the preparation begins for VCU. And this is, I believe, this is the first time that you're getting the second go-around at the teams in your pod. So in a season, how valuable is that first meeting in preparing for round two?
Well, I think both teams benefit from it. You know, obviously, we had a close, hard-fought game at VCU, and they were able to make some plays at the end that allowed them to be able to get the win. So I think there'll be a level of familiarity. But, you know, I think whatever that was, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, I think hopefully we're a better team, and I'm sure VCU has made some strides as well. So there'll be some things that both of us be able to take away from the first meeting. But certainly I think you know, this one will have a life of its own as well.
I agree. You know, I don't know how many weeks ago it was. It seems like it was centuries ago because I do think this Dayton team has come a long way, and it's a very cliche term, but I think this Flyer team has learned how to win. Games earlier in the year where, you know, people would be saying, well, that was a really good effort. That was a really good effort, but you didn't have the W to show for it. Now, all of a sudden, that same effort is a little bit more, and you get over the hump, and guys are fighting. You know, they're learning how to make those plays that they need to make down the stretch to win games.
Well, we hope so, and I think that's a part of becoming a good team, is that you have to kind of go through those experiences, and sometimes you have to get scarred. You have to go through some things. You have to fall down and be able to pick yourself back up. And not only that, but you have to be able to learn from those experiences so you don't repeat them. You know, and that's been kind of a theme for us all year, is that we want to learn from every game, whether it's a win or a tough defeat like we suffered at the hands of VCU the last time we played them. And we need to be able to look at what allows us to get better. What can we do just a little bit better? A couple of possessions here or there over the course of a 40-minute game that can give us a chance to have a better outcome.
We've talked about your confidence in guys, you know, in person from a personnel standpoint, but how critical is it for them to have confidence in each other?
That's the game. You know, at the end of the day, they have to be able to trust their talent. They have to be able to trust their teammates, and then trust their preparation. And you know, the common denominator in there is trust. So I think that's really what it's all about at the end of the day. And it allows you to be able to take advantage of the skills and talents that you have.
All right, Dayton with one game this week, and it's home on Saturday. One of a sellout. All remaining games are sold out, and such is the case with the VCU game on Saturday. It is a whiteout. You're being encouraged to wear white to the game. There'll be white pom-poms. John Rapone will be the little red dot in the crowd with the white pom-poms, though. You know what, John? Something tells me there's going to be a lot of folks that are going to wear their red anyway. But you know what? Hey, show up, be loud, and be ready to support this Dayton basketball team. If you're not going to be there, of course, we'll have the action for you here on the home of the Flyers. Bucky Bockhorn and I will have the call Saturday. Again, that all begins at 4. Then out on the road for a couple of weeks, so it'll be a while before we get back here again at Frickers on Woodman Drive. But when we do that, hopefully we'll be talking about some exciting basketball and a great stretch run for this Dayton team down the stretch. On behalf of our engineer producer tonight, Griff Getz, the coach, Anthony Grant, I'm Larry Hanskin. Have a great week, everyone. See you at the game Saturday, and go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
From our downtown Dayton McAfee Heating and Air Studios, WHIO AM Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station.